We welcome you back into Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. One of our favorite segments of the week, we get a chance to take a trip to Planet Golf as we sit down and speak with Guy Cipriano, the editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine. Guy, a privilege and an honor as always, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Bull. Thanks for having me, and I hope you and your listeners are doing well, and I also hope that everybody that's listening is staying hydrated if they're going outside to work or run or bike or play golf, because it's pretty nasty out.
It is nasty, it's humid, and later tonight they're calling for some storms, so fingers crossed maybe we'll get lucky. But let's get into some golf talk, my friend. Golf is alive and well and starting tomorrow at the Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial Golf Course in Fort Worth, Texas. I want to get into the field. I want to get into the course as well. Let's begin right there with the course. Guy, what kinds of challenges do you think that this will provide for the entire field, also throwing in the factor that this is the first tournament on the PGA Tour in 90 days?
Yeah, there'll be no secrets. I mean, Colonial Country Club is really the patriarch of PGA Tour courses. Maybe Augusta National is a little bit older and has been hosting the Masters longer than the Colonial Country Club has been hosting a tour event. But Colonial Country Club hosted the PGA Tour for the first time in 1946, and it's the longest continuing non-major site on the PGA Tour. So it's a classic golf course, and when I say classic, Bull, I mean it was designed by Perry Maxwell, who was at the tail end of the golden age of golf course architecture. It opened in 1936. It's what you would expect from a golf course that's been around for a while. It's tight. It's tree lined. The greens aren't that big. They're bunkers in smart places. The greens are bent grass, which, you know, for your listeners that maybe aren't familiar with the different grass varieties, bent grass and Poa annua is what we have on greens up north. It wasn't really bred or meant to be used down south, but it produces a high-quality putting surface. And at Colonial Country Club, they have the resources and the savvy to have it in Texas. And there are very few courses now in Texas and other parts of the Southeast with bent grass greens, so that adds to the classic nature of it. It's pretty much everybody that's played the game in the last 90 years at a high level, or the last 80 years at a high level, has played Colonial Country Club. And this is going to be a big chapter in that club's storied history, because this is the greatest field they've ever had come to Colonial Country Club for its PGA Tour stop.
Well, that's a nice segue into the next question here. Let's talk about that field. Betting markets have Rory McIlroy as a pretty heavy favorite going into this. As you look at this, why do you think he kind of stands out in what is a pretty darn impressive field?
Yeah, so the field has 16 of the top 20 players in the official world golf ranking top 20. So think about that. You know, only four of the top 20 players in the world are missing. Adam Scott, Patrick Cantlay, Tommy Fleetwood, and of course Tiger Woods won't be there. But everybody else who is anybody in the world of golf is going to be in Fort Worth, Texas. And yeah, you have to start the conversation with Rory McIlroy. He was more consistent. He was playing better than everybody else before the PGA Tour taken this 13-week hiatus. He was just a top 10 machine, and you know he had not won on the PGA Tour yet in 2020, but he was basically close every time he teed it up. He played in the match with Ricky Fowler and Dustin Johnson and Matthew Wolff at Seminole Golf Club in Florida about a month ago, so he's played a little bit of a competitive golf on TV already, so that's probably an advantage. You know, he's knocked the rust off in a setting where millions of people have been watching his every move. But you know, he's at 10-1 right now, and he may be the betting favorite, but I don't necessarily think that Colonial Country Club's a good fit for Rory McIlroy's game. Now, Rory McIlroy is certainly capable of winning everywhere, but everything that I just told you with your first question, Bull, about it being a tight tree-lined course with smaller greens where you got to play some angles, you don't necessarily need to be a long hitter. You don't need to hit it, you know, 320 to 340 in the fairway every time to have success at Colonial. In fact, you try to hit the ball 320, 340 yards, you're going to blow it through some of those fairways and actually put yourself in a tough position on your approach shots. So it's a course where a lot of players have a chance to win. And yeah, Rory might be the betting favorite. Then I think John Rahm is at 12-1, and he's another bomber. But this is a golf course where, you know, the field's a little bit bigger than it usually is. This is typically an invitational event limited to 120 player field. They got 144 teeing it up this week because of the circumstances, and most of the players in this field have a chance to win. Of course, there's some head scratchers. I mean, you see that Scott McCarron and Bernard Langer, two of the kings of the PGA Tour champions, are in this. They got sponsors exemptions. That's probably there are probably a lot of reasons for that. They want to create some hype for the upcoming resumption of the Champions Tour season. And, you know, I don't think, when I say almost every player has a chance, I don't see, 60-some-year-old Bernard Langer winning at Colonial Country Club. Although, if there was a course where, you know, he could finish in the top 10 on the PGA Tour besides a Augusta National, which he's played hundreds of times, this might be the one where even you see someone that's like 55-plus end up in the top 10 and get some weekend airtime on the weekend. But there are a lot of possibilities here at this tournament, and it produces some strong champions. And you got to remember, you know, that this is a course that Ben Hogan made famous. And he was probably the best ball striker of all time, if you listen to some people. So it's a place where a lot of things can happen. And Rory may be the betting favorite, but in my mind, I don't think that this is going to be the place where he gets his first PGA Tour win of 2020.
Again, we're being joined by Guy Cipriano, editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, Guy, we have to get into the presentation because I think that's going to be really interesting this weekend. You know, CBS and the Golf Channel have plans on using what's called a confession cam, which could be a lot of fun. And also, they're talking about roughly 30% of the field being mic'd up. How do you think this all goes over this weekend?
Yeah, everything about this week is going to be different, and it started, you know, when players arrived Monday and Tuesday, and caddies and all the support staff, everyone took a COVID-19 test, and, you know, there was a mobile testing unit that's going to go from tournament to tournament. So I saw some images from the driving range and practice green, and it's not typically what you see. Players are definitely spaced out. There isn't any congregating in one place with, you know, your players and caddies and agents, and that some of those changes are going to, at least for these first few events coming back, are going to be noticeable on TV. And yeah, the TV presentation is going to be unlike anything we've ever seen for a full field PGA Tour event. And they're playing off some of the elements that worked well with the two charity matches last month. Well, we talked about those here on the air, and there were some things that the viewers really liked, like the players being mic'd up and some interviews going on during the actual competition. And, you know, that's good that the PGA Tour is looking to innovate its TV product. You know, some people may say that the traditional golf presentation model had gone a bit stale, and this is an opportunity to try some different things that worked and were well received just a month ago. And there are going to be 23 cameras there, which is a reduction in the number of cameras they typically have on site. They're trying to limit the number of people to around 1,000 that get into these tournament sites, and that includes no spectators. So that gives you an idea, Bull, what it takes to put on a professional golf tournament that is televised at the PGA Tour level. There are going to be around 1,000 people on site at Colonial Country Club, and that doesn't even include one spectator. So that, I mean, it really is a traveling circus. You know, Jim Nance will be in the tower, from what I understand, but then Nick Faldo will be broadcasting and doing analysis from the Golf Channel studios in Orlando. CBS will have two reporters on course in Dottie Pepper, and I believe the other one's Mark Emmelman or Trevor Emmelman, one of the two, and that'll be different. There won't be as many people inside the ropes capturing the action. I think there are only a half dozen credentialed media members there, from what I've read, and all, they're all doing virtual interviews. Or, you know, it's kind of odd. Can you imagine having a credential to cover the tournament, and it's your job, and you're interviewing someone that you're on the same site with over a computer? You know, you may only be 100 yards from each other, but you're both on computer conducting the interview. I guess that's how it's going to be here in the early going. And this is certainly a test, and the PGA Tour is going to be facing a lot of scrutiny because, really, you know, this and NASCAR are the only two things of any significance going on in the United States. And this tournament, there's tremendous interest in it because it's the first one back, because there aren't a lot of there isn't a lot of live sports going on yet. It's a great field, and there's all this pent up demand for live sports. I read something where a TV ad spot for the Charles Schwab Challenge cost $96,000 last year, and it's like it's close to $150,000 for an ad spot. So there's a lot of commercial interest too, and it's going to be interesting to see it all come together. And I wouldn't expect that, you know, flip on the TV on Thursday or Friday on Golf Channel, and then Saturday and Sunday on CBS, and expect to see what you normally would see with the broadcast that you were watching in March when all this got halted for a while.
We mentioned that they plan to mic up roughly 30% of the field, and I know there was a little bit of resistance in the past. Do you think that was more so the physical restriction, having all those electronics strapped to you, or do you think it's one of those deals where golfers don't necessarily want everything that they're saying and that they're feeling being on a microphone at all times?
Well, you know, I work in golf, and my livelihood is dependent on golf, but I'll be the first one to say this. Things change and move really slow in golf compared to the real world. So this is a sport that is rooted in tradition, and it's very tough to change a mentality or something that maybe has financially worked for a long time. So that's where the resistance came from, and really the two charity events that I mentioned last month opened a lot of eyes and said, hey, you can put a mic on a player and maybe he or she can still perform at a high level and not be distracted about it. In my mind, it should be the player's choice pool. I don't think that every player should be mic'd up if he or she doesn't want to in one of these televised events. I think it adds to the broadcast. I think what a lot of people are going to find, though, is that that pro golfers, when they're competing and they're between the ropes, aren't as animated or as exciting as we think they are. It's not going to be like they're going to be trading barbs like Tom Brady was with Charles Barkley and Phil Mickelson and Brooks Koepka. And it's not going to be like that whole dynamic that we saw at the match at Medalist Golf Club last month, a few weeks ago. I think it's not going to be, the conversations aren't going to be like the conversations you and one of your buddies, Bull, would be having if you're playing in a Monday scramble or weekend play. It's not, these people aren't as engaging as maybe everyone thinks they are. They have a job to do. It's a very serious job between their ropes. Now, with that said, there's some players I definitely hope are mic'd up. I mean, who would not want to hear Bryson DeChambeau mic'd up talking technically and about physics of the golf clubs and the golf balls and the wind? And who would not want to hear somebody like John Rahm mic'd up, who's very animated when he hits a bad shot and has been known to yell? And in particular, I sure as heck hope that they mic up Pat Perez, who might be the most candid person in golf. Now, that would be entertaining, but, you know, even though the players are mic'd up, I wouldn't think that it's going to come across like some of the things we saw last month with the charity events.
This has an opportunity, I think, to really kind of grab the casual sports fan that's, again, looking for something or anything. And this, again, is a golden opportunity to do that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Well, Guy, before we let you go here, I have to ask you about golf here in Ohio getting some pretty big news about a week or so ago. Back-to-back events will take place later on this summer in Dublin at Mirrorfield Golf Club. And, of course, the Memorial Tournament made some news earlier this week mentioning that they've got a plan in place to play the tournament with fans in attendance. How excited should we be about all this?
Yeah, really, Ohio is going to be the epicenter of professional televised golf this summer. The first event at Mirrorfield Village Golf Club, July 9th through the 12th, is one that wasn't supposed to be there. That was scheduled to be the John Deere Classic at TPC Deer Run, but Illinois has not opened up as fast as some of these other states that are on the PGA Tour schedule. So the decision was made to move that event, and that event has been moved to Mirrorfield Village Golf Club, and that'll be a full field event. Workday is going to be the sponsor of that, so I think that had to be a key component to bringing it to Dublin, Ohio, outside Columbus, is to find that sponsor. And then the Memorial Tournament, a week later, yep, fans are going to be allowed in. Now, it's not going to be full capacity. It's going to be limited up to 8,000 fans, which is 20% of what you would see at the Memorial Tournament on any given day down there. There'll be temperature readings at the entrance. Spectators will be required to wear masks unless they have a pre-existing condition where they can't. There won't be any grandstands, so it'll be completely different than the traditional Memorial Tournament, Muirfield Village, Golf Club spectator experience, but it's a start, and not everything's going to happen at once with all these reopenings, right? And, you know, this weekend we're talking about the first live PGA Tour tournament in 13 weeks, and then, you know, a month later they're going to be fans on the ground. And really, you look at the week after the Memorial Tournament at Muirfield Village Golf Club, the LPGA is on track to resume with an event called the Marathon Classic, and that's at Highland Meadows Country Club in Sylvania, Ohio. And also there are going to be spectators there from everything that we're hearing and based on what Governor DeWine said last week. So, yeah, the first male and female professional televised golf tournaments with thousands upon thousands of spectators will be here in the state of Ohio. And then in August, there's the Bridgestone Senior Players Championship, which is a major event on the senior circuit. That'll be at Firestone Country Club. And then a Korn Ferry Tour playoff event, which is the level below the PGA Tour, the Nationwide Children's Hospital Championship, will be at the Scarlet Course at Ohio State University. So Ohio is really the epicenter of pro golf, and there'll be a lot of eyes to see how crowds are managed at these events, what the spacing is like among spectators, and what the spectator experience is like. And if things go well in our state this summer, it could really open the doors for sports to start allowing close to normal size crowds in, beginning, you know, maybe in late summer, early fall. So, you know, there are a lot of smart people running these events. There are a lot of great people in Ohio volunteering their time and effort to make these tournaments work, and these tournaments produce millions to local charities in our state. So, you know, I'm confident that it's going to be managed well, and that the people in our awesome state are really going to show the rest of the country how it's done here in this new situation with bigger gatherings.
And, of course, it's an opportunity to also showcase all of the great tracks that we have here in the state of Ohio as well. So, I mean, you're right. It is a golden opportunity, and one in which I think that the great Buckeye State will certainly do very, very well. I'm really interested in the Seniors Player Championship coming to Firestone, as you mentioned. That should be a lot of fun.
Yep, yeah. Second year in a row, Bull. And, you know, when Firestone lost the WGC Bridgestone Championship, when that moved to Memphis and FedEx became the sponsor of that event, people were wondering if there was going to be a televised pro golf tournament in Firestone, which there pretty much has been continuously for over 50 years. And, yep, so this is the second year that senior major will be contested there. The event was supposed to be July 9th to 12th, but it got pushed back to August 13th to 16th. And, you know, the Firestone, if you haven't been there to watch a golf tournament, it is one of the best spectator experiences you could possibly have. And they've been the organizations involved with running events there do as good of job as anybody in sports at running an event, from everything from the shuttles to the spectator flow to the spectator experience to the viewing sight lines. It's just tremendous all the way around. And yeah, that's something that if you have an opportunity and you're looking to get out and see an event in person again, then that's a great opportunity. And a golf course is a great place to be in a crowd, because the crowd can be easily dispersed over 100 plus acres of outdoor landscape.
Great stuff. A lot to look forward to later on this summer. Guy, as always, we appreciate the time, and it's nice to be able to talk about some live golf again, and we will have plenty to discuss next week when we recap the Charles Schwab Challenge and then take a look at the other tournaments that are on the horizon as well as we get back to PGA Tour action here on Planet Golf. Always a pleasure, Guy.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bull.
Thank you very much, Guy. Again, that's Guy Cipriano, the editor at Golf Course Industry Magazine, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's step aside and take a break. We will come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.